From our studios on the sunny southwest side of Cedar Rapids, we welcome you in. It is the Thursday edition of the Gym Class, 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Thank you very much for joining us here today. Big show coming up for you. We're going to talk to John Krant from Gym Fi Sports in Las Vegas. Gym Fi Sports is the Twitter handle. Lots of things to go over. NBA news and notes for the weekend. Previews of NBA games. Look back and look ahead as far as the NHL is concerned. We'll do that with John Cranton. And then Paul Clark will join us, CycloneReport.com. And we will talk with Paul about the Iowa State spring game coming up on Saturday. You can catch the game right here on 1600 AM coming up on Saturday. We're going to have it at 2 o'clock for you coming up on Saturday as the Cyclones and Matt Campbell will take to the field at least in the public eye for the very first time. So that'll be coming up on Saturday, and we will talk with Paul coming up here in just a little bit. We've got baseball going on right now. We've got a little bit of golf to talk about at the RBC Heritage. Zach Johnson went off early this morning, and his first round is completed. First round since missing the cut at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia last week, in front of friends and family, too, over there at Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. And good afternoon, Mark, and how did Zach do today?
Good afternoon. Even par 71 for Zach on this day. Three birdies, three bogeys in his round. He bogeyed his last, which was the ninth. Kind of windy conditions at Hilton Head Island today. But Zach, yeah, pretty good. He's in pretty good shape to make the cut. Needs a good round tomorrow. He'll be going off at 11:40 Central Time tomorrow. Right now, the lead held jointly by Kevin Chappell, Luke Donald, and David Lingmuth at minus five. So Zach's five bet.
There you go. And tough golf course, tough conditions today. And Zach has done well in the past at Hilton Head Island. So we wish him the best of luck. Also, coming up in just a little bit, it's going to be the official introduction at South Dakota State University for T.J. Otzelberger. He's going to be the brand new men's basketball coach, chief recruiter, and top assistant coach for both Fred Hoiberg and for Steve Prohm and the Iowa State men's basketball team. In fact, Steve Prohm with this release just a little bit ago, quote, "I'm really happy for T.J. and his family. During our one season together at Iowa State, he did an incredible job of easing my transition to Ames. He's been an instrumental part of the success of Cyclone basketball the last 5 years and will truly be missed. I think South Dakota State is a rising star as their new coach. I have no doubt he will continue to do great things while leading their program," unquote. That is the Iowa State release for T.J. Otzelberger as he's going to be officially the new coach at South Dakota State coming up today.
Otzelberger, one of the brilliant minds in regards to a lot of, the minds of a lot of people in college basketball. And South Dakota State, 26-8 last year, Summit League tournament champions, lost to Maryland in the first round of the NCAA tournament by five. That was a pretty good team this year.
They've had good teams over the years, and they've done it with a lot of kids from Northwest Iowa. As well as the Dakotas. Good program up there, the Jackrabbits, and they're getting a good one. T.J. Otzelberger is just a fantastic recruiter. He's just a guy that can go into any living room and get you convinced to go play for him and his staff and the staff of Fred Hoiberg or Steve Prohm or whomever it was back in the day. Went to Washington for 1 year and then came back to Ames and now is going to make his way up to Brookings, South Dakota. It's a little colder there, though, TJ. Mm. It's a little colder. Might want to bring an extra parking hood just to go up there.
Scott Nagy, the previous coach, took the job at Wright State, I believe, right?
Yeah, and that's a little bit of a head-scratcher.
You make a lateral move to me.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure it's a lateral move. At best, a lateral move, to say the least. But the best TJ Otzelberger, as he is going to be the new coach at South Dakota State. So that is up there today. We're also going to have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up from the penultimate week of bowling, and we will do that on the program here in just a little bit. And sorry to say right now, Mark, bottom of the ninth inning, the White Sox lead the Twins 3-1. And the Twins still looking for their... It's not been a good day for the Twins. They a couple of base-running snafus, and Byron Buxton, the former Cedar Rapids colonel, injured in the game earlier. A lot of people feared that it may have been a... He got hit on the wrist, on the hand, by a pitch. A lot of people thought that that didn't look good, and it might have been a broken bone, something like that, but... the Twins have said that at least it is not that serious.
That's true. X-rays were negative, and it's been ruled a contusion for Buxton. He's day-to-day.
Aren't we all?
Miguel Sano, day-to-day as well, just struck out on another breaking ball from David Robertson. And the Twins are just anemic right now for whatever reason. And when they do score a few runs, it's the bullpen breaking down. And, you know, one of those starts... Cal Eldred often saying you can't win it in April, but you can certainly knock yourself out of it. Going into the day, the Twins were six games out. April 14th. It's not good.
And about two outs away from being seven games
That's
out.
Right.
As the Twins still looking for that first win, they're taking on the White Sox right now. Tomorrow night, they host the Angels. Mm-hmm. And we'll have it tomorrow night on 107.5 FM. That will begin at 7 o'clock in the evening. I mentioned the Iowa State spring game coming up this weekend as well. Dodgers and the Giants coming up both Saturday night and Sunday night as far as baseball is concerned. So check out our schedule at kgymradio.com. We encourage you to do so. We're going to talk to John Cranton coming up here in just a little bit. Also, Paul Clark will be joining us as well here in just a little bit. We've got some more tickets to give away as well. Another pair to Impractical Jokers coming to the U.S. Cellular Center on June the 12th. And, of course, they bring their terrific special blend of comedy, hijinks, never-before-seen videos on stage in the Santiago Centus Tour. And that will be coming on June 12th to the U.S. Cellular Center. They've been very popular this week.
One of my new favorite shows. I told you a couple days ago after listening to Alex Kuhn, our producer, one of his favorite shows, happened to tune into it. And within 10 minutes, I was hooked and laughing like crazy.
You're a devotee of True TV now. You know where it's at.
Other times besides the NCAA basketball tournament.
There you go. Yeah. Indeed. Other news. We will have the unveiling of the National Football League schedules coming out at 6 o'clock, I believe, Central Time, as the White Sox have defeated the Twins now in a terrific play behind third base by Todd Frazier. For the last out, but tonight at 6 o'clock will be the official unveiling of the schedules for the regular season in 2016 from the National Football
League. You don't get to rant on the Dallas Cowboys many multiple appearances in primetime until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you know what? There's going to be six. They're going to have the most. You learn to live with it, I guess, right? Right?
I suppose.
The Chiefs better have more than a couple. That's all I know after a very good year they had last year.
I'm sure the Afternoon Players Club will bring you up to date on all the pertinent information there. The Packers, the Jets, among other teams.
Indeed. Yeah, because they'll be on the air for a solid hour when the NFL schedules come out. And that will be a little bit later on this evening. 12 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. You can always reach us on the Guppies on the Go text line at 319-366-1600. When you're on the go, we still want to know what you think on the Guppies on the Go text line. Standard text messaging rates do apply. You can also reach us via that same number on the phone line at 319-366-1600. Those are the numbers to call. And do we have a poll question?
It has not been updated yet. I'm sure it will be shortly.
Okay. And we'll let you know when it is. Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. So we will have that up and running here in just a little bit. Why don't we go ahead and take a break and talk to John?
Sounds good.
John Cranton will join us when we come back. And we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, and a whole lot more with John. We'll do it right after this as you're listening to the Thursday edition of The Gym Class. Scott and Mark with you right here on KGYM.
A lot of choices for Eastern Iowa used car shoppers, but when you want the no-bull best used vehicle you can get, shop the Coralville Used Car Superstore across from Randy's Carpets. You can be super sure with Superstore certified vehicles. 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty. It's yours because Coralville Used Car Superstore certified certified vehicles have passed a 161-point vehicle inspection and reconditioning program, a vehicle history report, no charge, and the 3-day like it or exchange it policy guarantees it. That's the No Bull difference at the Coralville Used Car Superstore across from Randy's Carpets. Don't sign. Don't buy anywhere until you ask, do you have a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty, vehicle inspection, vehicle history, and exchange program? You want to gamble? Go to a casino. You want the No Bull best used vehicle you can get? You go to the Coralville Used Car Superstore across from Randy's Carpets on the Coralville Strip. And nobody works harder to get your credit approved. Super, super, super. McGrathAuto.com.
Hey, Rough Rider hockey fans.
Are you ready for some hockey?
Tomorrow and Saturday night, the Bloomington Thunder invade the stable as the quest for the Clark Cup begins. Come cheer your Riders on to playoff victory and enjoy $2 beverages, popcorn, and hot dogs. Saturday, the first 1,500 fans get a rally towel from Unity Point Health St. Luke's Hospital.
For all the
party
details on the hottest game at the coolest place, visit RiderTownUSA.com.
Be there!
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with UNASH and Dukes. KGYM.
Back with you here on the Thursday edition of the gym class. What a day outside. Should have a golf club in our hands right now, shouldn't we?
I may in about an hour.
Go out and hit a few?
I'm thinking about it.
Oh, good.
Why not?
Why not? Indeed. I'm going to get the bike out a little later. We're maybe even planning a little barbecuing tonight.
You going on Ragbri with Halas?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to be going on Ragbri with Halas. Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Thank you for our friend Willie Guy. And by the way, right now at Jefferson, they've got, I believe, a group of 7 or 8 athletes, student athletes, that are going to be signing Division I and other scholarships. So congratulations to them over there. Our friend of the show, Willie Guy, over there, sent me a tweet. Please.
What did Willie have to say?
Said, take it easy on my Cowboys.
Okay.
Willie, always good to have you listening in on the show. And like I said, never. But I gave you a wink.
Go easy for now.
Go easy for now, indeed. John Cranton set to join us right now from Jim Fife Sports in Las Vegas. At Jim Fife Sports is their Twitter handle, and you can always check them out over there. And they do a terrific job in the desert, and we go there right now. And John, good afternoon. How are you?
I am in the desert, yes, gentlemen, and I never thought I'd be able to say that I had something in common with Jason Spieth, but I do. We both had a quadruple bogey last weekend. How do you like that?
Yeah, but yours was seen by a few less people, I would imagine.
It was seen by nobody. I wouldn't even pay for a caddy.
Well, that's a good place to start with that Masters finish. You had Spieth making that big number on 12. You had Danny Willett coming out of nowhere. I would imagine there weren't a lot of people, I would think, in the sports books in Vegas that had Danny Willett as their Masters champion.
No, that's right. It was a shocker. You know, I watched the leaderboard over the weekend, and Spieth was rolling, and you know, it just seemed like, well, this is a foregone conclusion. And I think it was funny was last Thursday, Jim had texted me his 3 players that he thought were going to win. And then a couple hours into it, he sends me another text when Spieth got off of that great start, and it said, oh, my God, I can't believe I left Spieth off my card. I missed it. This is going to be a rout. And, of course, it wasn't a rout until the last few minutes, and then the Willett came out of nowhere. He opened 150-1, closed at 100-1. And when Jim came in Monday, I said, did you have Willett at 100-1? And he said, nobody I knew had Willett at 100-1. So somebody had him, but nobody I knew. That was quite a shock, though.
Hey, John, tonight in Major League Baseball, 2 of the best teams in the American League, Kansas City and Houston, square off, and you've got some thoughts on that game.
Yeah, a great matchup. It's been a good series, too, very close defensive games. And here, you know, Royals, nobody really gives the Royals a lot of respect. I mean, 2 consecutive AL championships, and here they were in Vegas, 13-1 to win the World Series. Not bad, getting some respect, but not the favorite. And even if you look at their own division, the AL Central, there were 3 teams, the Indians and the White Sox, all right in there, you know, a 2-1, a 3-1 with them just to win the division. But here they are off to a sensational start again. And the Vegas odds makers not giving them much respect tonight either. Houston, a minus 130 favorite, and yet we see 63% of the individual tickets written on Kansas City. So somebody's looking at the Royals as being better than a lot of the betting numbers early on. And this team is just amazing the way they're playing. 6-2 record. They got a winning record both home and away. If you go back to last season, a 22-7 run. So this is not a fluke. And when they face the AL West like they are tonight, 36-16, they really dominate. And last two games, 3-2 win, 4-2 win. They're not very strong when you look at the overall offensive stats in the game. They're 20th in baseball in run score, just 25th in on-base percentage. But as we all know, that's just a part of the game. There's so many other aspects. Pitching, speed, defense can be so important. And the Royals, these last two-plus years, have just showed that, winning back-to-back AL titles and won the World Series. So I'm not surprised they're playing exceptionally well again. Guy on the mound tonight is Ian Kennedy, 31-year-old veteran, first year with them. He got a big contract to come join them and pitched pretty well in that opener against Mark's Twins. I'm sorry to bring that up. He played pretty well, 7-0 win, through shutout ball, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. And the thing about Kennedy that's kind of odd to look at is he's been great the last 3 years on the road with a winning record, but his road play has been terrible, 10-23. Last year with San Diego, 2-10 on the road. So you got to give some respect to the Indians front office to be able to look at a guy like that with his stuff and say, you know what, he would be a good fit despite some of the numbers that I just mentioned. And he's a guy who also had trouble with the home run ball. And that's also a bit of a red flag because the guy was in Petco Park, a huge park, great for pitchers. And he struggled a little bit with home runs, and he's going to the American League now. He's going to a park that's better suited for home runs, and yet the the Royals still looked at him and said, yeah, he's a good fit, and he certainly was in that first game. Now, the team they're playing, Houston, young team, very high expectations to duplicate what they did last year, which was exceptional play, and yet they haven't got off to a good start. 3 wins, 6 losses. Losing record both home and away. And they also go with a newcomer here in Doug Fister, 32-year-old big guy at 6'8". Didn't pitch very well against the Brewers in the opening start, ERA of almost 5.5. And when you look back last year with Washington, talented team, but he wasn't that good. 5-7 record, gave up 120 hits and 103 innings. And at age 32, he's not going to get any better, you would think. So it's a bit of a surprise for me to see him as a favorite here. Royals have seen him quite a bit. He went 1-3 against Kansas City the last 3 years, and in his career he's only 3-6 against them. So I would not be back on the home team here. One other caveat on this game, though, is wouldn't be surprised to see a defensive game. I already mentioned how the Royals, with that bullpen and defense, can play so well. But notice that Houston, when they played the American League Central, 36-14 under the total, so I would lean toward Kansas City in this one. Most definitely another low-scoring game like we've seen these last two nights.
Turn it over to that bullpen for the Kansas City Royals. John Krant joining us at 3:22 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Let's talk some hockey. Alex Kuhn and myself were happy last night because the Blues got a victory, and after many, many years, decades of frustration. Yeah, it's only one. There's a long way to go. I think it's going to go 7, but Game 2 comes up on Friday between the Blackhawks and the Blues. It's a great series, first of all. And I guess your thoughts about it with the new playoff format that the NHL adopted this year. You're going to see a lot of these matchups here in the next few years.
That's right. So you don't have a split heart between the two teams. You're definitely with the Blues.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Well, yeah, it was a fantastic game last night. I love defensive hockey this time of year. And here's a game where Game 2 tomorrow night, St. Louis, another small favorite here, minus 125. And the total is 5, so they're expecting that St. Louis great defense to control the pace again like they did last night. It was interesting that one of the coaches said, boy, it could have been a 5-4 game with all the opportunities that both sides had, but just a sensational 1-0 game. Brian Elliott with 35 saves, so he had to stop quite a bit. St. Louis red hot now, 12-1 run. Interesting that Chicago, during their title run last year, they were 4-1 with overtime playoff games, and I wonder if some of the Blackhawks fans say, boy, we're already 0-1. Maybe last year was our year. Maybe this year it's not, but don't be just certain. This team is just so talented, the best organization in hockey as far as I'm concerned, as far as the talent they have up. very few teams in the NFL can say that they're number six in goals scored and 10th in goals allowed, top 10 in both categories, at least Chicago team is. You got Patrick Kane, 46 goals and 60 assists. And they really haven't been a complete team as far as health-wise the last couple weeks as we've seen them. A little bit slow down the stretch, but they look like they're going to be for tomorrow night's game with Shaw getting some rest down the stretch. And, of course, Duncan Keith, he missed six straight games here with a suspension. Didn't play last night, but he is going to be available for game one. So they're going to have all of their guns coming for a must-win game. But the St. Louis team is fascinating under Ken Hitchcock. They're just so strong defensively with their big physical defensive players and their great goaltending. Fourth in the NFL in goals allowed, number two in penalty killing. That's their game, what we saw last night. Sensational run here now of 20-7. So, like Chicago, they know how to play great at the right time of the season. I'm looking at another low-scoring game because St. Louis is home. That's their style. They're so strong. Wouldn't be surprised to see a 2-1 game either way. St. Louis, when they face a team with a winning record, 17-6-1 under the total. And you also notice that the home team won last night. Well, that's common when these rivals meet. 29-12 now the home team is. So Chicago's got the talent, defending champs, to get a win on the road, but the home team is dominated. I would look for another close defensive game, though, tomorrow night. 2-1 final, either team could win.
NBA playoffs coming up, John, and I always look at the 4-5 matchups, and you've got one with Atlanta and Boston. Identical records, in the Eastern Conference this season, almost identical home and road records. How do you figure this one out?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Very similar teams here in that they like to run, but the thing that's underrated about both is that they're so strong defensively. Boston, top five in the NBA in field goal shooting defense. A lot of people might not know that because of their young players, their depth. They like to run under this coach, Brad Stevens, but they are exceptional at shooting, at playing defense like that. And Atlanta, too, the last couple of years, they've been also strong defensively. Did lose one of their key players from a year ago. One of the differences between the teams, which is common with NBA teams, is home road breakdown. Boston losing road record, not by much, but Atlanta very strong at home, and here they are with the home court edge despite identical records during the regular season, number 4 and 5 seeds. So I would expect a close series game, a close series. Wouldn't be surprised to see them go to distance, but don't overlook home court is just so, such an edge, and both these teams, not so great on the road. Atlanta just one game over 500. Boston, one game under 500. And we're looking at a very close betting line here for the first game. Atlanta 4.5 for the first game. And the total is over 200, which surprises me, 206. And as I mentioned, these teams very underrated defensively. What you'll see in Vegas a lot of times with these playoff series is the line will come out for the games one of all these series, in this case 206. But then you'll see the defense rise the first two games, and you watch the total drop. Sometimes it can drop by as much as 10 points. So if you see defense and this series in particular going under the total, you could see a total like 196 or 7 by games 3 or 4. So if you like to play totals, good time of the year this weekend to go on the under for the first couple of games before the odds makers in Vegas make their adjustment and drop it by quite a few points.
The first-round playoff matchups, some of the better ones, a couple of them that we wanted to concentrate on here a little bit, besides the one we just talked about. Portland and the Clippers, I think that's going to be a good one in the West. I guess talk about that one a little bit. Each team has had their moments this year. There's no doubt about that. Each team has struggled at times this year, and it'll be interesting to see which one of these will move on.
Yeah, the three big differences with this series, home court is obvious, but beyond that, defense and experience, too, heavily favors the Clippers. You got the Clippers, a 7-point favorite for game one on Sunday, total of 209. Portland, sensational with Damon Lillard. He's 25 years old. CJ McCollum, he's 24. Tremendous backcourt. They love to use that backcourt. Both guys average over 21 points per game. They're both outstanding playmakers, too. Sixth in the NBA in scoring. They're an incredible three-point shooting team, number 3 in the NBA. But, boy, you need defense this time of year, and they are not excellent in that category. 20th in points allowed, 16th in field goal shooting defense, and they're awful at defending the three-pointer, number 26 in the league. The thing about the Clippers, it's a veteran team with all their experience, but they can score like Portland does, top 7 in scoring and shooting. But boy, their defense is great under Doc Rivers, number 7th in points allowed, and they're number 2 in the whole league in field goal shooting defense, right there with San Antonio. So this is an exceptional defensive team. Rivers is a great coach. We've seen him a lot in the playoffs. He has a really deep bench to go to. J.J. Redick, Austin Rivers, DeAndre Jordan, he's gotten him to concentrate on rebounding and blocking shots. The bench recently set a season record for points in a game just by the bench with 67 against Boston. So they have an edge with the bench, but the one big edge that I see is defense between these teams. So I'm going to have to go with the Clippers winning this series convincingly, because they did during a regular season too. They won 3 out of 4 games, including a win at Portland, and it wasn't even close, 109-98. So I like defense this time of the year, as well as experience, and this Clipper team is really loaded with it. They'll get by the first round.
We got a 2-7 matchup in Toronto, the number 2 against Indiana, number 7, John. And Toronto, very, very good at home. Do you give Indiana a chance?
Yeah, I do. You're right about the seeding here. Number 2 with Toronto and the number 7 with Indiana. Normally you look at that and say, well, it's going to be a one-sided series. But when you take a closer look at it, what's amazing is how evenly matched a lot of the numbers are. When you look at offense, both these teams are right dead in the middle of the pack in just about every offensive category. Indiana number 16th in scoring, Toronto number 13. Field goal shooting, they're ranked 15th and 16th. So they're teams that, by their coaches, they stress defense first. So that suggests a close defensive series, maybe not a run-and-gun series. But when you look at the defensive numbers, they're also very identical. Indiana, even though they're number 7 seed, they were top 8 in the NBA in points allowed. They were number 6 in field goal shooting defense and number 3 in three-point defense. So Frank Vogel has this team playing exceptional defense all season long. As I mentioned, you need that come playoff time. Toronto also top 10 in most of those categories in defense. In fact, they're number 3 in points allowed. So this is Toronto is a great defensive team, despite the fact that their backcourt, we think of them, Rosen and Lowry, as being wide-open offensive players. They're really not. It's a defensive-first team. When I look at the season series, that's where the differences come in, as Toronto did exceptionally well, winning 2 out of 3 games, including the last two. And the most recent game, April 8th, was kind of strange because Toronto was a home underdog of 5. That's because they gave Lowry and Rosen the nights off. They didn't need to win, but Indiana did. And the Pacers couldn't do that. They lost badly, 111-98. So that is interesting that Toronto went with their bench and beat Indiana. But really, when I look at the overall stats, I see a defensive series. I see a much more evenly matched series than a lot of people think, as Paul George is just such an exceptional player, and they added Monta Ellis. So I think it's going to be a defensive series and much closer. I'd be surprised to see a long series too. But I do give the Pacers much more of a chance to be competitive than a lot of people might think.
Let's go back to golf real quick. The Heritage is going on this weekend, and they are underway with the first round right now. You sent us some odds, and I took a look. Bryson DeChambeau is making his pro debut. He was the amateur last week, low amateur at the Masters, NCAA champion, U.S. amateur champion from last year. Has a different approach to the game of golf. Let's just say that out there. He was 60-1, and I tell you what, if you've taught us anything over the years, John, you've always taught us value bets.
You've got that right. Look for the value, and it dropped a little bit to 50-1, so somebody was thinking like you that this guy could be a wild card here, an unknown commodity, but they did take a shot at him, and I would agree, 50-1 is exceptional odds. You'll notice that Zach, too, is in the top 4, 20-25-1s with a shot to win this thing. And Jim did a couple of proposition bets. He did 4 of them. Now, one of them was Brandon Snedeker matched straight up with Jason Day. And Snedeker is plus 130, and that's who he took. So he doesn't expect Jason Day, one of the top players as far as the overall odds, to do well. But he did take a shot with Snedeker. And one of the others he did was Zach Johnson is matched up head-to-head with Kevin Kisner. Zach is minus 120. And Jim took that, so he expects Zach to have a decent showing this weekend.
Yeah, he's always done pretty well. Close to home. He's got the family there as well, so I think he's going to come through. But yeah, if I had a few extra coins, I might have put them on DeChambeau this weekend.
That's good odds, man. Boy, and if you hit that, we'll all go to the buffet this weekend.
Sounds good, John. How about a Thursday free play, and let us know what's going on at Jim Feist Sports?
sure, we got all kinds of articles and videos previewing the NBA playoffs coming up for the weekend, as well as NHL going on. Also, free play for the weekend. I told you the Kansas City-Houston game, the last two games have been defensive-oriented. That's how I see tonight's game. You got a total here of 8.5. No, I'll take that Kansas City bullpen again. Houston, Kansas City under the total. And if you're looking for getting stats on all the weekend games, just check out the Feist Fast Facts right on the JimFeist.com website. Top right-hand corner, it's free stats. Give you 2 days' worth of NBA playoff games. You can check them out yourself at JimFeist.com.
Hey, we're headed towards the 70s here, John. You see any peacocks lately over there?
No, they flew the coop, and we're all glad they did that.
Right. Hey, John, appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the games.
All right. John Krant joining us from Jim Fife Sports in Las Vegas.
He's walking to his office last week, and there's a peacock.
Is that good luck?
I don't know. Hopefully John had a good weekend.
Maybe he and Jim had a good weekend with that. 3:34, and we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, Paul Clark is going to join us. And before we do all that...
Well, I have breaking news here, first of all.
Go ahead.
In our last segment of the day, Bowling Night America, the Pin Pals have issued a press release via the text line regarding last night's happenings. Stay tuned for that.
We will look forward to that coming up during our Bowling Night in America breakdown from last night. But I can go a couple different ways with this segue here. Speaking of great comedy from last night.
Speaking of Impractical Jokers.
We have a pair of tickets to give away to Impractical Jokers. June 12th at the U.S. Cellular Center. And you see them on True TV, as Mark is now an aficionado of that. Sal, Joe, Murr, and Q, their special blend of comedy hijinks and never-before-seen videos on stage. You can get tickets now, Ticketmaster.com, or at the U.S. Cellular Center box office, or you can just go to KGYMRadio.com. Check out all the details. And we're going to go with caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you're going to get a pair of tickets to go see Impractical Jokers at the Cell Center here in Cedar Rapids on June 12th. We will let you know who our winner is. We'll take a break, come back. Paul Clark, we're going to talk Cyclone Spring Football. That'll be coming up on Saturday. And then also, T.J. Otzelberger, introduced as a new coach at South Dakota State today, and how that will impact Steve Prohm and Iowa State. We'll talk about that when we come back.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card can make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, 500 business cards for just $9.99. What's more, you can choose between hundreds of designs or upload your own and customize them easily. And because they're from Vistaprint.com, the cards are of top quality and your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. So visit Vistaprint.com today and get 500 shots at turning your dream into reality. Hurry, because this offer won't last long. To get your 500 business cards for just $9.99, go to Vistaprint.com and use promo code 7000 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 7000.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story of how SelectQuote goes to bat for you buying term life insurance. A while back, a man called me who had had prostate cancer. He asked if I could beat a very high quote another life insurance agent had given him. I said, let me see. Well, I took his pertinent information, then shopped the highly rated, price-competitive companies we represent, and found one who pre-approved him for a premium way below what he had been quoted. When it comes to term life insurance, no other company touches SelectQuote's experience and expertise in finding the right policy at the right price for almost anyone. How about you?
For your free quote, call 1-800-508-7889. That's 1-800-508-7889. 1-800-508-7889. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
on this beautiful, beautiful day in Eastern Iowa. We welcome you back to the Gym Class Thursday edition here on KGYM. Tomorrow, we are going to be at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, and we'll be down there for the KGYM road trip. Dan Shanka is going to join us. He, of course, works for Our Lad Scouting Service. We'll talk about the NFL draft. Oh, by the way, the only thing that could keep a trade like that happening was Kobe Bryant's last game last night, which he scored 60, in case you were under a rock the last, you know.
I understand the Rams held off on that announcement until after the game in deference to Kobe.
And that's pretty cool. Kudos to them for doing that. And we'll talk with Dan about that, the impact that will have on the entire first round of the draft, the entire draft. And we'll do that. If you have a question about a specific player tomorrow, specific franchise, whatever that may be, we will have Dan talk about that coming up tomorrow. Congratulations to Kevin of Fairfax. He's going to go see Impractical Jokers June 12th at the U.S. Cellular Center in Cedar Rapids. And we will have another pair of tickets to give away coming up tomorrow for that. All right, coming up on Saturday, Iowa State spring football game. And you can hear it right here on 1600 AM. Paul Clark, CycloneReport.com, set to join us right now. Actually, in our fair city today. Paul, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, guys, how are you? I was in your fair city, but now I'm en route back to my fair city.
Okay. You were here over at Washington and talking with a couple, one future Cyclone and another one that thinking about Iowa State.
Yeah, I got to spend some time talking with Orion Vance, who's a junior this year and is verbally committed to Iowa State, and also talked a little bit with Andrew Todd. He's a sophomore this year, obviously class of 2018, and then spent some time talking with Coach Paul James there. So it was a very good visit. I wanted to see you guys in person, but if I get back home in time, I can actually get some work out of my teenager. And I did not want to pass up that opportunity.
Never do that, Paul.
Never do that. No, you're right.
Spring game coming up this weekend, and interested to hear from you on some of the better position battles.
Well, I think it's, obviously there's always, this year, I don't know if it's a position battle so much. Anytime you have a new coach, I think it's kind of fruit basket upset, and everybody is vying for their opportunity to impress people. Now, obviously, there are some people that are a very good bet that you can plug in to start, but I think obviously, a lot of people will be watching the quarterback position, not so much in terms of who the starter is, Joel Lanning, but who's the number two? You've got Zeb Noland, a true freshman that just came in at the semester. So he's actually a kid that should be, back in his hometown getting ready for prom and whatnot. He's at Iowa State already enrolled and told the Des Moines Register he's number two on the depth chart. Or actually, Coach Campbell told him that Noland is number two on the depth chart. So can he hold on to that spot, or is a guy like Dom DeLira, who's a redshirt freshman, going to be able to take that spot back from Zeb Noland? So I think the number two quarterback spot is interesting to watch. Iowa State's offensive line, I mean, that's a sort of a massive overhaul project. They lost a number of veterans from last year. So I think in a lot of spots along that offensive line, it's kind of a wait and see. A lot of different guys are going to have their opportunities. I mean, guys like, J.P. Filbert is a guy certainly to keep an eye on. Junior college guy, Patrick Scoggins, who was out all of last year with an injury, a former junior college player. He has an opportunity to really make a name for himself. You've got Nick Fett, who was a walk-on, got a start in the last game of the year and did a tremendous job. He's a guy that obviously has a chance to earn a starting spot as well. So, on the offensive side of the ball, I think the line is probably the most intriguing thing to watch. Defensively, a lot of guys in the mix at linebacker. Who are going to be the top three and exactly who's going to end up where? You've got Jordan Harris. You've got Kane Seeley. You've got Willie Harvey. A lot of guys with some experience, and we're just going to see how it all fits together.
You mentioned the quarterback position. One position that is solid as well, besides Joel Lanning, is the guy he's going to be handing the ball to, and that's Mike Warren. Terrific freshman year. Understatement maybe of our conversation, but he's the guy. He's got a target on his back now with the rest of the Big 12 defenses looking at him. But I know Iowa State wants to find some guys to help with the depth back there in the running back position behind Mike Warren. What's that look like?
Well, yeah, I mean, Mike Warren, what he did is spoke for itself. And, you know, sophomore slump is really what he has to work on avoiding this year. And you talked about it. Teams are certainly going to be looking for him a little bit more. You know, Iowa State lost Joshua Thomas, a guy that got plenty of carries last year, decided to transfer out. So, you know, I think in a lot of ways the depth at running back is wide open. I'll be honest with you, I don't have the information right in front of me right now as I'm traveling. So I think I do think it's a case of Mike Warren being obviously a clear-cut number one, and then a lot of different guys maybe getting that opportunity. I mean, you've got a guy like Trevor Ryan who's so versatile. They can play him at running back a little bit. They can play him at slot. You know, they've talked about the walk-on Mitch Hargis looking good and making a bid for playing time. You've got freshman a guy like Sheldon Crony, all coming off a redshirt year. They feel like if he's healthy, he's a guy that's got a good chance to be the number two. So kind of a wide-open race. Warren, a clear-cut number one, and then wide open for number two.
Iowa State has an immense talent at the wide receiver position in Alan Lazard. I know he's nicked up a bit now, Paul, but you also throw in the mix Daly and Wesley and perhaps others. But Lazard caught 56 passes last year. I imagine they want to get in his hands a little bit more.
I think so. I don't know if there's a quota system. I don't know if they do the Randy Moss deal where you say we have to target this guy 20 times a game come heck or high water. But yeah, I think 56 is a low number. Compared to what they want to see from him this year. You know, part of that is on him, certainly, just improving, being a better route runner, being a little bit more sure-handed and a little bit more consistent. But it's also on the quarterback. It's also on Joel Lanning now that he got his developmental year out of the way. You know, Lanning did not throw with the kind of accuracy that you need a Big 12 quarterback to throw with. He has to be a lot better. He has to give Alan Lazard and all the receivers a better chance to catch more balls. But I think realistically, you know, Alan Lazard is a guy that could catch 70 or more passes throughout the season, and that's probably a decent place to set the over/under in terms of what Iowa State wants to get out of him.
Paul, you mentioned and Mark mentioned the offensive line, and two of the guys that people are going to be looking at on Saturday, they're local guys. Julian Good-Jones, Bryce Meeker. Sounds like they have a chance to not only get in high on that depth chart, but a chance to see some action coming up next year as freshmen.
Yeah, you bet. A couple local kids there, and they both have that opportunity. They're the guys that, you know, they come in and kind of lock them in the weight room there for that freshman year and maybe 2 years and give them some time, hopefully, to develop physically. And, you know, I know the previous staff, was very high on them. They felt like they were both just absolute steals recruiting-wise. You know, I talked more, had a chance to talk more with Brandon Mullaney, the former offensive line coach, than I have Tom Manning, the current O-line coach. But my sense would be that Manning feels somewhat the same way, that these are guys that definitely have a chance to come in and perhaps be starters this year. And guys at Iowa State can look to get two or three years of just really outstanding play, you know, solid play to begin with, and then outstanding play as they ramp up in their junior and senior year. So I don't think there's any question that both Good-Jones and Meeker are certainly part of Iowa State's plans and have a chance to really make their move this year.
It sounds like Matt Campbell's going to go a lot of four down, five defensive backs to combat the pass-happy Big 12. You can talk about that, Paul, but in terms of going five in the defensive backfield, there may not be any positions more talented than the defensive backfield with Tribune and Peavy and Cotton Moya, and throw in others like Jay Jones and others.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think you know, your comment there, Mark, it kind of echoes what the coaches have told us at different times this spring, that they do feel like that's probably, as a position group, the defensive backs are probably where Iowa State has the most in terms of proven players. And you mentioned Jay Jones, a guy that's he's huge. He's a big guy, played you know, nickel and some Sam linebacker last year. And they put him out at cornerback where he played in junior college. I think the former staff wasn't sure that he had the hips for it. that he would have the swivel, and so far so good, apparently. So I think Jay Jones has found a new home at cornerback. You know, Brian Peavy played so well for Iowa State last year. Really his breakout year last year kind of got lost in the fact that they weren't very good, and they didn't necessarily have a great pass defense last year. But Brian Peavy, in terms of doing his job and taking care of his business, he really showed a lot last year, and I think there's a huge ceiling for him. You know, they feel good about the guys you mentioned, you know, at safety. They've got Cotton Moya back, so they do feel like that defensive backfield is outstanding, and in the Big 12, you have to be. I mean, they're going to just play, obviously, a lot of pass-happy teams, and I honestly believe, and because they've told us as much, you know, the coaches are still figuring out exactly what they've got in terms of defense overall. You know, there was some talk, well, they're going to play a 4-2-5, and then we heard, well, we don't know yet. We don't know. And because the teams that they play in the Big 12 are so different and so unique, you know, I don't know if you can really say right now this is going to be Iowa State's base defense or this is what they're going to do. I think they're still figuring that out based on who they have, and then it'll be dependent on the matchup this fall.
There's a kid from Kennedy, Scott, too, that might figure in the mix, a hybrid type guy, Josh Jalous.
Yeah, Josh was a guy that, you know, he's kind of taken that route in terms of emerging as a special teams player. He was that special team standout last year. You know, the last guy to do that was a Levi Peters. Really made a name for himself as being the guy that always seemed to be down the field making the tackles on kick coverage and punt coverage and that kind of thing. Josh Jalous did that last year, and if I remember correctly, earned a scholarship as a result. So yeah, I do think he'll be a guy that's going to take that next step now and be a contributor on the defensive side.
Yep, did get a scholarship for his senior year coming up. The one thing everyone's going to be looking at is the new staff for Matt Campbell. This is going to be a game. They're going to play the first half, normal clock stoppages. There'll be a continuous clock, it looks like, for the second half. But the two rosters are out now. They actually had the coaching staff did a draft last night. So this is going to be a competitive game. And then Matt Campbell's bringing back like Seneca Wallace, AJ Klein, Sage Rosenfels, Matt Blair, people like that. And he's just trying to get everybody on board and excited again about Cyclone football.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously that's good to see in terms of, you know, a new head coach who isn't coming in with the attitude that, you know, this football program started the day I got here. This is a guy that is embracing the past and, you know, appreciating the fact that although Iowa State's football history is fairly modest, there have been a lot of great players that have come through Iowa State, and he wants to embrace as many of those guys as possible. I think he's going to embrace every single one of them that wants to be embraced, you know, if they have any interest at all in rekindling their connection with Iowa State. A lot of the guys have never completely gone away, but some have. You know, I can remember talking to Marcus Robertson a number of years ago, and he was working with the Tennessee Titans at the time, and he hadn't been back in a long time. He said, well, nobody's ever asked me. Not sure, you know, whether that's of any interest to anybody, whether or not the players come back or not. So on the one hand, you say, well, do you really need to be asked? If this is your alma mater and you love the school, do you really need to be asked? But on the other side of things, you know, you can see why a player might think that way. So pretty obvious they are asking now. They're saying, you know what, if you're somebody that's a part of the history of this program, we'd love to have you back in the fold.
Before we let you go, Paul, a little bit of basketball. Steve Prohm going into his second year. Looks like he's got a class of five for 2016 with the addition of Cameron Lard, 6'9", forward out of New Orleans. Talk about him in the class.
Yeah, Cameron Lard's kind of an interesting deal. He was a guy that, as it turned out, wasn't able to play any basketball here this past year. He transferred schools, and there was a lot of back and forth on it in terms of whether he was going to be eligible or not, and the ultimate decision was no, he was not eligible, and so he actually ended up going to a prep school in Texas here for his last season, his last year of high school, to take some more challenging college preparatory type classes to get ready for the next level academically. So He's a great player. I mean, physically, he's got all the tools. He's an athletic 6'9 guy, a power forward, if you have to put a label on him, but he's a guy that's athletic enough probably to play some 3 and also big enough to play some 5 probably, but a 4 certainly seems like his natural position. So, you know, Iowa State, they'll have 5 guys in this class, but it was sort of a scramble class. When Coach Prohm first came in, there wasn't much yet for 2016. So I think it's a class that, because of the quantity of guys, hopefully they can find 2 or 3 out of that group of 5 that end up being pretty good Big 12 players for them.
And they'll have to do it without T.J. Otzelberger, of course, who was and great for T.J. He was introduced a little bit ago as a new coach at South Dakota State.
Yeah, you know, TJ's ready. He's ready to be a head coach, and that's the level that is going to be the, where he gets a chance. You know, what I've always said about TJ, and I mean this as a compliment, he's a gym rat. And so I think the fact that he can start at a low major level, he's a guy that really likes to get out there and spend time in gymnasiums all across the country and connect with coaches and players, and at a low major level like South Dakota State, you still have to do some of that. And so I think that it really plays to his strength. You know, when the time comes if it does come that he's a high major head coach, he won't get to do much of that anymore, and it'll actually be underutilizing something he's so good at. So I think it's great that he's at that level. He's still going to get a chance to really be out there and be a hands-on involved in the recruiting process, and I suspect he'll do quite well at South Dakota State.
Yeah, he's going to do fine. We'll get some work done out of that teenager, Paul. Thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, guys.
Paul Clark joining us from CycloneReport.com here on the Gym Class. We'll take a break, come back. Bowling Night in America wrap from last night and a press release. We'll get to that when we come back.
Who is BillionAuto.com? We are one of the area's largest automotive internet dealers with over 7,000 new and pre-owned vehicles and a dedicated online finance department to find the best monthly payment for you. So the next time you're jumping around from one automotive website to another, save time and go to BillionAuto.com. Find out why over 5,000 people visit BillionAuto.com every day. That's BillionAuto.com.
Right now is the best time of the year to gear up for golf season. This is the Jim Scott Unash, and I'll be broadcasting live Saturday from 11 to 2 at Golf USA for their annual anniversary balloon sale. Stop by and shop their already everyday low prices. Then pop a balloon at checkout and get up to 50% off your entire purchase. There'll be hot dogs in the grill, too. I'll see you Saturday from 11 to 2 at Golf USA off Corridor Way behind Gordman's in Coralville. The brands, the know-how, the prices.
Drunk driving is one of America's most often committed and deadliest crimes. Each year, nearly 10,000 people die on the road due to drunk driving. In order to stop this deadly epidemic, cops are cracking down. Police officers are aggressively looking for drunk drivers and will arrest anyone caught driving drunk. They'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Back with you, the last couple of minutes here of the Gym Class Thursday edition here at KGYM. Bowling Night in America from last night, the penultimate week of Bowling Night in America. Our report brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
I believe it's history today on this segment. I think our first, we like to call it news release in radio, right?
Yes,
not
we do.
Press release.
Yeah, that's in lieu of our great former late owner, Elliot Keller.
Well, here's a news release from the Pin Pals.
Go ahead, Mark.
We would like to notify our fans that the Schmedium May City jacket is back where it belongs in Pin Pal possession. I would like to thank all our loyal fans, both of them, for supporting us and the Rusty Nails for allowing us to avoid last place for another week. In addition, we'd like to thank the Rusty Nails for being so gracious in defeat. It's always playing you guys. It's always fun playing you guys. I'll take good care of the jacket until we meet, like in Central Casting next year. It's not signed, but we know that to be Justin Whittle's words. Justin leading the way last night for the Pin Pals in terms of series. put the medium jacket on right away. Probably slept with it, but a noticeable absence in your office for the last 2 years, the medium jacket is gone.
It's gone for the summer.
Pin Pals beat us. We jumped off to a 110-pin lead, won the first game. Everything looked good.
I even bowled decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they got us the last two games and won the series by seven stinking sticks. Seven pins.
That's kind of the way the year's gone.
You got to tip your hat to the Pin Pals. It was a lot of fun. They will be preserving the jacket throughout the summer, and we'll see them in the fall.
We will. Who bowled well last night?
Wayne Selkin to our left had a 270 high game. Troy Fillenworth also to our left at 269, 719. Durline Scale long since wrapped up the team championship with 85 and 43.
You guys will have the mantle next week for position night, the final night of the season.
Stop out, coach us up.
There you go. APC coming up next on KGYM.
Napa Know How!
When you've got a specific job to do, you bring in the specialist, the edger, the trimmer, the leaf blower, other tools that end with er.